Welcome to day 7 of My Everyday Bible. Today we are reading from the book of Job, starting at Job chapter 14 and reading through the end of Job chapter 16. In these passages, we will hear Job speaking first in chapter 14, and he's basically mourning the fact that when a person dies, it's the end. It's the finality of death for a human being. And then his friend Eliphaz begins to answer him in chapter 15, and then in chapter 16, Job replies again, basically saying that his friends who've come to comfort him in the midst of his adversity are pretty sorry comforters after all. But that's where we find ourselves today, Job chapter 14 through the end of 16. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible. Let us begin with Job 14, verse 1. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. You also open your eyes on him and bring him into judgment with yourself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. Turn your gaze from him that he may rest until he fulfills his days like a hired man. For there is hope for a tree, when it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise. Until the heavens are no longer, he will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle I will wait until my change comes. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. For now you number my steps. You do not observe my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you wrap up my iniquity. But the falling mountain crumbles away, and the rock moves from its place. Water wears out stones. Its torrents wash away the dust of the earth. So you destroy man's hope. You forever overpower him and he departs. You change his appearance and send him away. His sons achieve honor, but he does not know it. Or they become insignificant, but he does not perceive it. But his body pains him and he mourns only for himself. Chapter 15. Then Eliphaz the Temanite responded, "Should a wise man answer with windy knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? Should he argue with useless talk or with words which are not profitable? Indeed, you do away with reverence and hinder meditation before God. For your guilt teaches your mouth, and you choose the language of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I, and your own lips testify against you. Were you the first man to be born, or were you brought forth before the hills? Do you hear the secret counsel of God and limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that we do not? Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us, older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you, even the words spoken gently with you? Why does your heart carry you away, and why do your eyes flash, that you should turn your spirit against God, and allow such words to go out of your mouth? What is man that he should be pure, or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight. How much less one who is detestable and corrupt, man who drinks iniquity like water. I will tell you, listen to me, and what I have seen I will also declare, what wise men have told and have not concealed from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. The wicked man writhes in pain all his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. Sounds of terror are in his ears, while at peace the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, and he is destined for the sword. He wanders about for food, saying, "Where is it?" He knows that a day of darkness is at hand. Distress and anguish terrify him. They overpower him like a king ready for the attack. Because he has stretched out his hand against God and conducts himself arrogantly against the Almighty. He rushes headlong at him with his massive shield, for he has covered his face with his fat, and he has made his thighs heavy with flesh. He has lived in desolate cities, in houses no one would inhabit, which are destined to become ruins. He will not become rich, nor will his wealth endure, and his grain will not bend down to the ground. He will not escape from darkness. The flame will wither his shoots, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. Let him not trust in emptiness, deceiving himself, for emptiness will be his reward. It will be accomplished before his time, and his palm branch will not be green. He will drop off his unripe grape like the vine, and will cast off his flower like the olive tree, for the company of the godless is barren, and fire consumes the tents of the corrupt. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity, and their mind prepares deception. Chapter 16. Then Job answered, "I have heard many such things. Sorry comforters are you all. Is there no limit to windy words, or what plagues you that you answer? I too could speak like you. If I were in your place, I would compose words against you and shake my head at you. I could strengthen you with my mouth, and the solace of my lips could lessen your pain. If I speak, my pain is not lessened. If I hold back, what has left me? But now he has exhausted me. You have laid waste all my company. You have shriveled me up. It has become a witness, and my leanness rises up against me. It testifies to my face. His anger has torn me and hunted me down. He has gnashed at me with his teeth. My adversary glares at me. They have gaped at me with their mouth. They have slapped me on the cheek with contempt. They have massed themselves against me. God hands me over to ruffians and tosses me into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he shattered me. And he has grasped me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. He has also set me up as his target. His arrows surround me. Without mercy, he splits my kidneys open. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks through me with breach after breach. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewed sackcloth over my skin and thrust my horn in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and deep darkness is on my eyelids. Although there is no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let there be no resting place for my cry. Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my advocate is on high. My friends are my scoffers. My eye weeps to God. Oh, that a man might plead with God as a man with his neighbor. For when a few years are past, I shall go the way of no return." In today's devotional, I want to touch on the subject of life after death. In Job chapter 14, we find this subject delicately addressed, and you may even think that when Job is speaking, that he questions whether there's life after death. But let me read a few verses to you as a reminder, and then let's discuss this biblical subject of life after death. We find in Job chapter 14, in verse 7, Job says this. He says, "For there is hope for a tree when it's cut down, that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground, and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish, and put forth sprigs like a plant." And then he goes on to say, "But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise." Now, if you stopped there, you might think that Job is saying that when a person dies, he goes into the ground and it's over, and that is the end of his story. But the reality is, and you have to be a close student of the word to catch this here, but we see that Job does indeed believe in life after death, and in fact a resurrection of the dead, which you have to observe carefully in the next few verses. In verse 12, he says, "So man lies down and does not rise until the heavens are no longer. He will not wake or be aroused out of his sleep." So here we see him saying, "So man lies down and does not rise." And then the next line is, "Until the heavens are no longer." So he's saying, until the heavens are no longer, a man lies down and does not rise. He doesn't rise until the heavens are no longer. That verse, verse 12 of chapter 14, shows us that Job had a foundational belief that man rises again after death at an appointed time. In the time of Job, and again, remember, Job, the book of Job was written as one of the earliest scriptures ever written down. So this was early on, many, 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 many thousands, a couple thousand years before Christ's appearance on the earth. So we see that men of God of Job's day had a piece of revelation, partial revelation you could say, about the reality of life after death and the reality that God causes men to rise again after they physically die, that there is some sort of a resurrection. Now, they didn't have a lot of revelation on the subject, but he had some. He says, "So man lies down and does not rise until the heavens are no longer. He will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep." And he's talking about the sleep of death. So he had some knowledge or some understanding that there was a specific set time by God that after a person dies, that they would be resurrected in some fashion. And he goes on in verse 13 to say, and he's speaking to God here, "Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes." Now, I'm going to stop there and point out two things to you. The first thing is, he's talking to the Lord and he says, "Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol." Now, Sheol was a place where the dead went to after death, man's soul and spirit separate from his physical body. We know that man, from the Word of God, from the Scriptures, that man is spirit, soul, and body. Your body is, you could call it, your earth suit that you exist in on this planet. And then when physical death comes, your soul and spirit are still alive. The spirit man, the part of you that connects with God, your soul being your mind, will, and emotions, those are still quite alive. Just because your physical body dies does not mean that your soul and spirit cease to exist. That is not borne out in Scripture at all. In fact, the hope of Christianity is that there is indeed life after death because of the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And we'll talk about that more later on as we get to the New Testament. But I'm going to bring out some New Testament scriptures to you today that confirm what Job intimates here in these verses. And it's a critical subject for every person because all of us, everyone hearing these words, has in some way been touched by death. Perhaps it's the death of a loved one, a parent, a child, a spouse, a friend. You have seen or tasted death in some small way perhaps, or perhaps in some deep way because it was someone close to you. And at times like that, when people are facing death or when they've experienced the death of someone they love, the questions begin to arise in our minds. If a man dies, will he live again? The exact question that Job asks. And here you might think that he's questioning whether there is life after death. And truthfully, when any person is nearing death, those questions will arise in their mind, even if they have a foundational belief that there is indeed more to life than just the physical body. And so Job says here in verse 14 of chapter 14, if a man dies, will he live again? And he answers his own question by saying he does believe that he'll live again. He says, right after that, he says, all the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. What is he talking about? There is a change that happens. You could say, really, there are two changes that happen spiritually, so to speak, with man in terms of life and death. One is the change that happens when you actually physically die. A change happens when your soul and your spirit separate from your body. That's a big change. You're still existing, yet there's a separation from the physical body. You're not walking around on the earth in that body. You're not doing anything in that body. Your spirit and soul now have separated. Now what happens? Well, there's a big change right there in what happens. You go somewhere, everyone, whether they believe in God or they do not believe in God, whether they are believers in Christ Jesus or they are not, everyone goes somewhere after they die. Their soul and spirit separate from their body and they do go someplace. We'll discuss the where in a moment. But this is the first change, and this is one of the change that Job is speaking of. I'll wait until my change comes, until that day comes when I'm changed, separating from my body, my soul and spirit. That change is one change. Then there's a second change that the scripture talks to us about, and it's the change when we are resurrected after death. There's a resurrection that occurs at a set time, similar to, I believe, what Job and the people of his generation believed. There's a set time when God resurrects all the dead from all of history and those also who are alive at the time of Christ's coming. There will be a phenomenal change that happens. Let me read to you a scripture from the New Testament that addresses this subject. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find these verses starting at verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now, Job just talked about this. I'll wait for when my change comes. This scripture says, behold, we will not all sleep, meaning we won't all die, but we will all be changed. So a change comes to everybody who's already died, and then even the people who are alive at the time when this happens. And what is he talking about, the writer in 1 Corinthians speaking of? Verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. Now we'll stop there for a moment, and we're talking here about people dying, and a set time being appointed by God when the last trumpet sounds, and talking about the end times, when Christ says, okay, it's now over. Christ is coming, and he's going to resurrect those who have died before that time, and then those who are alive at that time on the earth will also be changed, it says. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So there's a change that happens at this time in history, and it is an appointed, set time by God. Verse 53 goes on to say, for this perishable, referring then to the physical body, we're perishable, we can die. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, that's a resurrected body, a body that can't die. It's an amazing thought. When this perishable body will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That is one of the most powerful passages of scriptures in the Bible, because it speaks of this mystery of resurrection, this astonishing, amazing, fantastic, and beautiful promise of resurrection, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. So everyone that you know who died in Christ, who died as believers, no matter how long ago that may be, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, they will be raised up in an imperishable body, an immortal body, a resurrected body. And then if you're still alive, if I'm still alive at the time when Christ comes, the scripture promises we will also be changed into that immortal state, into that imperishable body. How powerful is that? And then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And that is so fantastic, because God has made this promise to us. So we as believers never have to fear death. We do not have to fear death at all. In fact, it's a precious thing. The scripture says that to the Lord, the death of his saints is a precious thing, because they transfer out of this perishable body, the struggle that we have in this life to just walk with the Lord and to not give in to fleshly desire, but to be godly people. And we move into this new realm where we are walking with the Lord in an imperishable, immortal body, and those struggles are gone. And that will be an awesome day. So you can have the comfort, if you've lost loved ones in death, to know that this day is coming, and that once you die, you will be reunited with those people. But also, if the Lord returns before you die or before I die, we will also be reunited in these immortal bodies, changed in the twinkling of an eye, and be reunited with all our loved ones who perished or have died prior to us and now have put on, as the scripture says, immortality. It's going to be so fantastic. Now, the beauty of this is that Job had some measure of revelation about this. He said that he would wait all the days of my struggle. He's talking about his struggle in life. I will wait until my change comes. So he had that revelation that there was life after death. And even when you're facing death, if you're on your deathbed, or you're listening to these words as I'm speaking them and thinking about the issues of life and death, the thought may arise that even arose with Job here in the 14th chapter of, like, does man expire and actually go somewhere, as he said in verses 10 of Job 14. We may wonder about those things, but we don't have to wonder, because the scripture is very, very clear. There is a day where we will be raised in immortality. And there's also a day that when a person dies, they see the Lord if they have walked with God. But regardless of whether a person knows God or doesn't, there is an eternality to our lives. God has made us as eternal beings. We're not, our physical body's temporary for sure. absolutely temporary, perishable. We have an expiration date, so to speak. God knows what that is, but we all die at some point. But physically, unless the Lord returns, then and you don't die, then you but you have become or receive, you could say, the resurrected body, and that will be an awesome thing if you happen to be around at that point in time. But most people, historically, all of history shows that people die after a certain number of years. And yet those who are in Christ have a promise that is so very, very beautiful. And the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we don't have to grieve about people who die, and we don't have to fear if we die. It says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep." And he's talking about people who have died. "So that you will not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 confirms what we read a few minutes ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that there's a final trumpet, there's a shout, there's a return of the Lord, and that those who were dead in Christ are raised up first, and then those of us who are still alive on the earth will also be raised up at that point to meet the Lord in the air, as it says here in 1 Thessalonians 4. All of these things, both these passages in the New Testament and the passage that we listened to earlier in Job 14, speaks to this issue, which is very basic and foundational to the Christian faith, that there is a resurrection of the dead. And for those who have put their faith in Christ Jesus, put their trust in him, there is joy to look forward to. There is anticipation to look forward to. There is nothing to fear and everything to gain when we step out of our physical body, which is very perishable, and we step into eternity, because we will be with Christ forever. And that is just fabulous and precious and beautiful, and in every possible way, the sweetest reward there could possibly be, because it's been spoken of in the Word of God about heaven, that it is a place where there are no more tears. We live in a time, in a world, in a generation where there is much sorrow. We all know it. Just listen to the news or look around, or perhaps you could even testify of your own life, the sorrows and the tears that have come in your lifetime. And we know that the world is full of sorrows, and it is because we live in a fallen world, a world where sin has dominated, where people have chosen selfishness and ungodliness over walking with God. And it started back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve chose their own way instead of choosing to obey God. And when that happened, there was a separation of fellowship between man and God that opened the door to all kinds of problems, and sin and sickness came in at that point. And from that point forward until even now, we see a world full of sin, sickness, disease, tragedy, calamity of every kind. And it's because man chose his own way over God's way. The good news is Christ came to restore relationship with our Heavenly Father. And those who put their trust in Christ, can have that restored relationship and live, even though this is a fallen world, can live in victory in this world. We can still have joy in the midst of sorrow. We can have victory when others are experiencing calamity. We can have peace when people are plagued with anxiety. And we can have the protection of God when people are being destroyed all around us. This is the promise of the Word of God for those who believe the Lord. So if you are one of those people, or if you choose to put your faith in Christ Jesus and in the Word of God, you can live above the circumstances of the world as we know it. And then the day, when that day arises that your life ends in the physical sense of it, your physical body is laid to rest in the earth, your spirit man and your soul will go on to live eternally with the Lord in great joy and peace and beauty and no more tears. And that is the hope of Christianity. That is the hope of the Word of God for those who will put their hope in Him. And Job, though he went through such intense struggle and difficulty and even emotional struggle over all of the calamity that he suffered, and this is a historically accurate passage, this entire book of Job. It's not just a story that's told, it's a historical account, and Jesus even referred to Job, so we know that he was a real person, not just a parable that was told. But Job suffered much difficulty, loss, sorrow, calamity, physical suffering in his own physical body. And we know that the origin of it was Satan himself, so it wasn't sent by God, as many people like to often blame the Lord. And though Job struggled with, why is this happening to me, his end confession is that he believed God and he would trust God despite all of it. So take this message from today, that there is hope, there is an eternity, there is a beautiful resurrection for those who put their hope in Christ Jesus. And though we live in a time when things are difficult and maybe your life has not been easy, there is a beautiful hope that you can make your very own by placing your trust in Christ Jesus. And if you have, then be of good cheer. Though this world has its difficulties, we have a Redeemer, and we will see Him, and it will be a day of joy and victory. Thank you for listening. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow for day 8 of my Everyday Bible.